Hey, InterVarsity alumni. This is After Four, your podcast for navigating life after graduation. This is both an exciting and potentially tricky transition that you're making, and you might feel a little unsure about the coming weeks and months. We're here to provide you with expert advice, practical skills, and plenty of encouragement as you learn how to keep saying yes to Jesus in your new context. This is After Four, and this podcast is for you, alumni. What's up, alumni? Welcome to After Four, your podcast for navigating life after graduation. I'm your host and guide, John Steele, and today we're jumping into our second-to-last interview with InterVarsity alumni like you who have made the jump to full-time work after graduation. Today, we're hanging out with Ace Patterson, an alum from the Haas School of Business at UC Berkeley. He's a renaissance man. He's got experience as a hip-hop artist, mobile game developer, speaker, author, CEO. You name it, he's done it or something like it. And he's going to share with us what it's like to navigate life as an entrepreneur, or as Ace puts it, someone who's doing what he's got to do to survive. I'm really excited to get to share his story with you and for you to get to hear his heart behind leaning into the process and not just working for the accolades. Here's Ace, and this one's for you, alumni. Ace, hello and welcome to the podcast, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Ace, you're gonna be a part of continuing on this series that we're doing about vocational transition, talking about graduating from full-time student life into full-time work life. But before we do that, Ace, would you just help me and help our audience get to know you a little bit? Who are you, Ace?
Totally. Ace Patterson. I'm a child of God. I think that's all that really matters. I could tell you more, but honestly, I'm a hard-headed, stubborn child of God that's learning every day. Father, two daughters, one who's super hyperactive just like me, and the other one is sleep regressing and at 2 a.m. decided to throw a party. I was saying that to my wife this morning that I don't think she's going to be any easier. And, you know, I just think about, man, how am I like that with the Lord? Just I'm running around, I'm walking with my eyes closed on purpose and then hit my head on a wall. And like, I told you not to do that. That's me. What do I do for work? What I do for fun, which is I build a video game based on hip hop. It's a mobile first hip hop trading card game called Five Mics. It's like Yu-Gi-Oh or Hearthstone, but with rappers instead of dragons. Okay. I'm also a hip hop artist. And so prior to that, you know, worked in the corporate world. I've worked in education. I have school degrees. I have a family, as you've already heard. I don't know. I'm first generation Jamaican American. This is me not reading off of a document of who I am. You know, the internet, go on Wikipedia, you know, they'll tell you who I am too, right? You go on Instagram, they'll tell you some stuff.
There you go. Man, Ace, you're also an InterVarsity alumnus. Give me a snapshot of like what chapter were you a part of and maybe just one tiny story, memory of your time with InterVarsity as a student.
Yeah. So when I went to UC Berkeley for their MBA program, I felt called by the Lord to go. I was looking for, you know, where is there like a community of believers that I can like go plugged into, and came across the Believers in Business Conference online. You know, it started from the Yale Business School, and I had got into Yale at the time. And so I was like, oh man, you know, I'm going to go to Yale MBA, and I go to the Believers in Business Conference as a prospective MBA student. I think around that time I heard back from Berkeley. And so I was like, okay, I'm choosing between the two, but in my head, I thought I already made up my mind. But then I saw there's like a handful of like Berkeley believers in general, like in the room, it was like three. And it just twisted my heart. And I just felt the Lord say, hey, I want you to go. And so from going to BIB, that's how I met Mark Washington. We've stayed close to this day. And so we were able to like work together with the Haas Christian Fellowship there and do some programming during my 2 years at Haas. And, you know, while I was also at Haas, I served at the BIB conference team. I was on the operations committee my first year. And then the second year, I was the co-director of the conference. And then I graduated.
The primary listeners for our podcast here are seniors or people who are nearing the end of their academic time and moving into that first year of life after graduation. So let's live in that time together for you. What was that like, making that big step there?
Yeah. So I went to undergrad at Columbia University. I came to the Lord my second to last semester there. So I knew of InterVarsity in college, but I didn't know them, you know, from a fellowship standpoint. And then right before I graduated, I was like, dang, I really wish I actually hung out with them. They would have kept me in so much better shape. But yeah, nah, I graduated from Columbia, and I was, you know, sleeping on floors, doing two unpaid internships at the bottom of Manhattan, couldn't even afford to go back to Connecticut, which is just an hour away train ride and like $20 round trip. So very much did not have it perfectly positioned and all this kind of stuff. But in that time, especially because I was just a recent convert, I really found so much joy even sleeping on the floors, just like praying to the Lord, being like, wow, you're just teaching me a lot about humility and patience and finding joy in the small things. And so 6 months, more or less, was that situation, just trying to figure out, like, what is it that I was going to do. Around that time, I had met a girl who is now my wife. But when I met her, she was, you know, just this on fire believer, double majoring, ends up triple majoring. And she's like, I'm going to be a lawyer. I was like, well, shoot, I'm going to be a lawyer. You know, like I was like, no one, I was like, you seem to have your life in order. And so I was literally studying for the LSAT at the Columbia Business School, like library. I was studying for the LSAT, you know, because God loves situational irony. And so I'm applying for a paralegal role. This one organization, they were like, we like you, but we don't feel like you'd be a good position for this paralegal role. So why don't you interview with the COO? Maybe you can be her assistant, which at the time, at that moment when I heard that, I thought that was like a downgrade and like, why would I want to do that?
Yeah.
But like after doing that, and very much in hindsight, it was the Lord being like, no, I'm going to set you up for your own path. You don't have to follow Rosa's, who's my wife. You know, you don't have to follow her path. I'm going to set you up on your own path. And, you know, this woman, Shannon Keach, super awesome. She, you know, went to Harvard Business School. She brought me under her wing. This like kid that had no direction in life was like, hey, I like the cleanness of your resume. I'm going to give you a shot. I ended up being the CEO's assistant. She wrote my recommendation letter to go to business school. The rest is history. But, you know, that was my journey after college. So, you know, my advice to anyone listening and what I say to, you know, my mentees or anyone, you know, when I'm talking to college folks is like, your first job is not your last job. And two, you really don't have to have it all figured out. If you have it figured out, if you interned at a, you know, the summer thing that's going to give you the full-time thing, dope. That's awesome. Congratulations. If that's not your story, it's still okay. There's still lots out there that is available for you. And also, especially in this phase of my life, I would definitely argue that it's not even about what opportunities can some company give you, but what opportunities has the Lord given you for you to pull out of the ground yourself.
Yes. Now, even just the way that you give that final couple of sentences of that piece of advice, it sounds like something an entrepreneur would say. What are the opportunities?
Am I really in it? Am I really like assuming this role?
Yeah. I mean, that's what it sounds. So, I mean, but that's honestly, that's where I would love to go next is, okay, you've had this initial transition, you're sleeping on the floor, but you are like living in the joy of your salvation in that time. And like, you think you're going to become a lawyer, you end up becoming this person's assistant, and that's a sort of what launches you into business school. And so then where does your mind and heart start to turn towards like entrepreneurial pursuits?
So what's interesting is I never was using the word entrepreneur. I didn't think that was a word that necessarily applied to me, but where I come from, the kind of language that we use are things like, you know, I'm grinding, I'm hustling, making something out of nothing, creative, get it done, survival is the name of the game. All these things, it's really just entrepreneur. We just don't use such words, right? I wasn't raised in a household that used that language, but you know, my father, just even in retrospect, so many businesses he started independently, you know, whether it's painting houses, fixing, you know, people's cars or whatever the case may be, doing three things at the same time, stacking it up, renting out homes, you know, all these kind of things. Like all of that's entrepreneurship. Just, you know, when you're, I'm a first generation Jamaican American. And so all I saw was just like, just working to survive, you know? And so when I was at Columbia, I started, for example, the Columbia University Society of Hip Hop, AKA Kush. That was the mindset that I had at the time. And, you know, it ended up being this small thing that, you know, we were just rapping to have fun. Me and my friends, you know, we had $25 that we were given from the building that we were living in. And so we just bought pizza, brought people in, and we just started, you know, performing because we just wanted to. It ended up being, you know, before I graduated, we're opening up for Snoop Dogg in front of 26,000 people. To this day, now it's a real organization. It's a real Columbia club that like gets funding from the school and all kind of stuff. And it's been written about in papers and stuff. And it still exists to this day, which is super dope. In my head at the time, I wasn't like, oh, I'm creating something. I'm, you know, the president, the CEO, blah, 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 blah. I was just like, yo, we're just rapping on every other Thursday. You know, we're bringing kids together, hundreds of kids in one small sweaty room, just performing for them. And like that was, but, and so, right, that attitude of like, hey, like there's, you know, there's an opportunity, there's a gap in the market, and like you come up with a solution and you do product market fit. Like I wasn't using that language, but that's what we were doing, right? And so even in business school, like all those entrepreneurship classes, I completely just did my best to avoid them. I was like, these aren't priority for me. Like I'm going to learn other things, you know? And so now being in the space that I'm in, I'm like, man, I really should have taken that pricing class. I really should have taken that entrepreneurship, that law class, you know what I mean? It's just right, like, I you know, whatever. But like it, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of what I'm doing now is a lot of the skills and the lessons that I've learned as a creative, as a hip hop artist, where it was like, yo, at the end of the day, I need to sell this music in an era where people don't buy music and perform and sell tickets and not lose money when I do it. How are we going to do it? And like, right, that kind of mentality. So it's just very much like, you got to do what you got to do to survive. That's, yes, that's what I call it. That's what this is.
I love that. I think that that is a far more descriptive term. I'm just doing what I need to do to stay alive. So then when that is the context that you're operating in, you know, I think for so many people, they think about, when I graduate, when I go to work, then I go to the office, I go to the fill in the blank building that I'm going to step into, and these are the people that I'm going to rub shoulders with, and this is what it looks like to sort of develop a working relationship with them. When you're doing what you've got to do to survive, that probably doesn't look the same when you're just like building stuff from the ground up. What does relationship with colleagues even look like for you?
Totally. I mean, no one man's an island. And so part of survival is that you actually have real relationships, people that you can depend on, rely on. You're not working in a vacuum. You don't always have the right answers. And so building relationships and maintaining relationships is actually a very, depression's real, isolation's real, you know, having your thoughts lie to you is very real. Just, you know, our hearts are deceptive, and we need a body. We need a corporate body. We need people that we're working with that we can actually work with. I mean, there is definitely a season where it's like, okay, it's just like Ace, like concocting all this stuff. But like, no, we have a team of people that, you know, we're collectively building this vision and bringing it to life. Right. And so just in every facet of what I'm doing, to survive means that you're doing it with people. And so this is one of the things that I learned when I was at business school. I was studying abroad in Spain, which meant I was studying abroad, traveling Europe. And I was sitting in Geneva just because that's what you do. And I was just processing life. And I was just like, yo, like all business is relationships, right? Like it's not the brand names. It's not the compensation. It's not any of these things. Like when you look at companies and you're like, oh, wow, company XYZ just did blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, a handset of people like went off and did certain things. Da, 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 da. And when you really realize that it's the people, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, if you want to do good business, like you have to build good, real relationships. And so all of the extra stuff about everything, it's just like, okay, well, it's not even right. It's not even just who you know and who knows you. It's like, what is the quality of that relationship? Because people change jobs all the time, you know, but like, they're going to remember how it felt when they engaged with you. And that could be the difference between you making payroll or not, surviving or not. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so it's just like, to survive, it's like, yo, I'd rather not be in a situation where I feel like, wow, I'm all alone and I have no one to reach out to, no one to you know, help go from A to B. So,
yeah. I mean, it sounds like a posture of shalom, almost, of like this completeness, this wholeness, that this isn't just about accomplishing the project, or, you know, it's not all about the bottom line. This is about who are the other people that are involved. Like, let's bring people into the process, first of all. Like, let's collaborate. Let's have people around us. And what does it look like to seek wholeness, completeness, and deep, meaningful relationship in the process of creating something that we're pretty excited about, too?
The biggest thing that I've been learning just with every single day that passes is it really has nothing to do with the milestones and the goals and the accolades. It might sound weird to say, but those are very easy to get. Those aren't like, it's like chicken nuggets. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, you get them and then it's like, okay, cool. What? Then what? Right? Then what? And like, maybe I sound like somebody that's gotten a lot of accolades, and I would assure you that there are still more to obtain. So I'm not like, I don't have like 50 Grammys. You know what I mean? I sound crazy. My wife sometimes tells you, like, you got to relax. The way you talk sounds a little, you got to calm it down. But like, what I truly mean is, like, it's so much harder to live in the process, but it's so much more fulfilling. You don't get the hand claps in the process. You don't get the, you know, people don't want to write about you when you're in the process. You know, they want to wait for the shiny thing. Sometimes the process can take long and it can look disheartening, and people that might want to cheer you on might stop cheering you on because they're like, well, I don't know what's happening. You know, it's like, when are you going to come out of the desert so we can celebrate you being, you know, in paradise? And it's just like, but the joy, you learn so much. You learn so much when it is that wilderness. You learn so much when it's in the trenches. You learn so much about just like how to posture yourself so that when the accolades do come, you don't get washed with it. You know what I mean? You know, sure. Like, oh my God, like, I got the thing. Cause like, so what? You know, it's like getting paid. And then it's like, but if you don't have a good financial plan, then what? You're just going to beg and wait to the next time you get paid? Or like, when you do get that thing, you're able to like weather the storm for when you don't get paid for another, especially when you're an entrepreneur. Payment don't just come like that, right? Until you get that process in, right? Until you can get that. Like, it doesn't just come like that. And so, you know, if your sense of worth and value is only based off of the things that you get, then that's an easy way to position yourself. And in our culture, that's like how we're trained to be. Where'd you go to school? Did you graduate? How much are you making? Where did you go to da 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 da? And it becomes this thing. But like, that's a very sad life. The higher you get into it, the deeper you get into it, especially when you're playing the comparison game. But when you live a life where it's like, yo, there's nothing to compare to. I'm living a life that's uniquely mine that God has given me. And the things that he's teaching me, there's certain things, there's certain doors that I know he would open if he believed that I was ready for them. And they're like small things to like other people. Like I see people around me get through those doors all the time. Right? And it's just like, but that's not what he wants for me. And at any point, my life is a testimony of miracles. We don't got time for them, but just even me being where I'm at right now, the critical moments, the things that have pushed me further are only because he wanted them to. And so I'm well aware that for whatever that next thing is, it's just a matter of him being like, all right, bet, like, this is what we're going to do. But until then, there's things for me to learn, and that's the process. And so, you know, I really just look at those accolades and those milestones as, you know, mini chapters, sometimes a whole, you know, act switch, but in no way, shape or form is it the actual thing that I'm working towards, because they're chicken nuggets. I'm sorry.
I love that.
They don't sustain you. They don't sustain you.
Yes, yes. That it's actually the process is where the real joy and the where life kind of comes from. The accolades come and go. You get to celebrate and like lean into celebration. That's great. Be excited that something's been accomplished. Yes, but guess what? Then tomorrow the award ceremony is over. but the process is something you get to keep living into as you go along. And what does and how does I mean that feels like a way that you can continue sustaining joy in your work is by finding joy in the process of the work that you do, as opposed to, the project is accomplished. I can have joy. Guess what? The next project is coming.
Which is why, honestly, like, you know, being at a place just for a paycheck, I've been there. I've done it. I am in no way shaming or judging anyone, but you soon learn that there's not enough money to make that worth it. There's not enough free food or free benefits or, you know, whatever the case may be to really make it that worth it. There's just at worst, you feel trapped and hollow because you're like, what is life if I'm really just doing this? And in the most complacent way, it's just, okay, like I'm just at a place making money and that's, you know, I use the money to go do some stuff or whatever. And I just live in this, right? But I'm always just seeking purpose. I'm always just seeking like, why am I doing it, right? And so I can be at a place where it has nothing to do with anything that I want to do with my life, what I believe that I'm called to, right? Like how, you know, Paul's making tents. It's like, it's not a tent maker, but he's making tents, right? But I can make the tent if I know that I'm here making the tent because this is actually why I'm here in this space, in this place, surrounded by these people. And so that's where my mind goes, where it's like, look, I'll sit here and make these tents for y'all, but like, here are the people that the Lord has for me to meet and to talk to and to build with and to this and that. And these are the things, these are the lessons that he wants me to learn in this space so that when he moves me, it wasn't a waste of time. And he doesn't waste anything. Every little thing I've seen in my life, it just has come back in very positive ways, even the stuff that was meant to destroy me. And so I'm very thankful for the different chapters. And, you know, it's very easy to be like, oh, like Ace is exactly where he needs to be right now or should be right now. But everything looks clean and easy on paper. But my journey of getting here was in no way, shape or form a straight line. It's just been a lot of, okay, Lord, what's next?
Ace, if you could sit down with another alum who has it on their mind, when I graduate, I'm going to be somebody who does what I need to do to survive. I'm going to be somebody who builds stuff from the ground up just because I think it's cool to do it. And that's what I'm passionate about. What's a piece of advice that you would give to somebody who is about to step into that season of life?
You know, honestly, and it goes with anything, everything's hard. Everything is hard. The overwhelming majority of startups fail. The overwhelming majority of creatives don't make money. There's a lot of famous broke people. The thing that looks flashy is probably the thing that is the most fake. The things that do bring you the millions and millions are reserved for like the 0.001%. And I just say all these to be like, where's your heart? Where's your heart in all of it? Because if those are the things that you're chasing for, I just say, don't waste your time or waste your time walking to the wall. but if there's a deeper mission and you know it and God knows it, I mean, then there's nothing that anybody can tell you. It's just, you know, I'm reading in Acts right now how like everybody, spirit-filled believers were like, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. They're going to kill you. And he was like, I gotta go. He's like, I gotta go. Like everyone, the spirit-filled ones were like, don't do it. He was like, I gotta go. There's when you know the purpose and the myth, there's no one can, right? But if you read an article or if you listen to this and Ace said, don't do it. And you're like, all right, bet I'm not going to do it. Then you wasn't going to do it anyway. Or if you were going to do it, you were going to capsize and you were going to be like, oh, why did I ever do that? Right. And it's going to be the blame game. But if you're like, nah, this is what I got to do, then yo, full steam ahead. Don't look back. There's no regrets. Everything is a learning lesson. And it's about the process, not the accolades.
Yes. That is really great. I can very much appreciate that. And a great thing for our alumni to keep in mind as they step into a season of life where I think the temptation is to make a name for yourself. The place that you're going into, whatever work it is that you're going to do, it's like, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to climb the ladder. People are going to know who I am and the things that I've done. And to say like, well, maybe that's part of what you should do. But the process is where the real joy in what you're doing comes from. Lean into that. And I think that that's huge for us to keep in mind, making this transition for sure.
Yeah. I thoroughly believe that the Lord multiplies the power of good reputation. I don't believe that it's up to us to quote unquote, make a name for ourselves. Like, just read Daniel. Just read like what he did. And like Daniel would do like basic things. And it was like, and then Daniel was loved and was ranked the highest of the high. It's like, yo, yeah. I'm just going to eat veggies.
Yeah, I'm just going to eat vegetables.
Right. Like, I'm just, what are we talking about? Right. Yeah. So it's just, why are you there? And if you're there and God told you to be there, fam, yeah, you'll be in front of kings and queens.
That's awesome.
With ease. You're not even going to care. Because you're like, I'm here on mission. But if you're like, I need to see the king and the queen, it might take you, you might be in the wilderness for a minute. Let me just say.
Yes. Gosh. Ace, how can, you mentioned a few of these things already, but how can people stay in touch with you? How can people engage with the work that you're doing? Like, just give us a quick rundown here.
Totally fair. I'm on LinkedIn, Ace Patterson, or, you know, linkedin.com/IN/callmeace. Social media, Call Me Ace Legit. I got music out there. Call Me Ace is three words. It's like a Tribe Called Quest. And then we're building a hip hop trading card game called Five Mics. And our website is five, like FIVE, and then mics, MICS.IO. And we have a game demo available for play, private play. So sign up to the wait list and you could play. And if you're ever in LA, let me know.
Love it. That's great. Ace, thanks so much for hanging out with us today. This has been a lot of fun. And it's been, I really value the experiences that you have and the ability to share those things with us today. And for our alumni who are going to be stepping into some of these spaces and who are thinking like, what does it mean for me to make this transition? And for you really to offer these, like, like you said, these sort of Daniel stories, eat the vegetables, man. You don't have to do the flashy stuff. If the Lord has called you there, he's going to make it happen. Just follow him. And I love just that simplicity. It's not necessarily an easy thing to do, but that is a simple metric for whatever work you do, to lean into that and you're going to be good. You're going to be good to go. And Ace, I appreciate so much you setting that example for us today.
Thank you. I appreciate you for having me. This was a really dope conversation. Praying that this is received to those that can hear. Reach out on the journey. I'm down to do the journey with you. I understand the importance of accountability and camaraderie and all of the fun stuff. So
yes.
Yeah, this is dope. And I'm rooting for all of you.
It's not about the accolades. It's about the process. Of all the thoughtful moments with Ace, this is the one that stands out to me. Maybe it's because I host a couple of podcasts, and so metrics and measurements and comparisons are always close at hand. But I think it's also because this can just be a killer for so many of us. You remember that line from AJR that was total meme fodder for a few months? The, can we skip to the good part? That's totally our culture. Let's just fast forward to the part that's fun and comfortable, where I'm financially independent, retiring early, where I'm kicking back on the beach with my soulmate, where I'm the best at the thing I love most and everyone knows my name. Ace actually seems to think that's a pretty empty promise, that all the accolades and success eventually just reset and the moment's over, and that the place where you can really sink your teeth into something cool and meaningful is in the process with the people you're working alongside. That's actually the good part, inside and outside of your work. So maybe we just lean in there, especially since it's what makes up the vast majority of our lives. So let's not skip it.
Ace, thanks so much for joining me today. This was such a great conversation. I really hope you have a great time continuing to develop Five Mics. And even though it's not the point, I do hope the process leads to some really cool celebrations of a great game. Alumni, be sure to come back next week for my chat with Nikki Fujimoto, a Milwaukee School of Engineering alumna who's navigating an engineering career and who has some really amazing insights on partnering with Jesus in biblical hospitality at work. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you in the after, alumni. Hey, thanks so much for joining us today, alumni. If there was anything that you learned, really enjoyed, or that encouraged you from today's episode, would you send us a DM or tag us in a story? We'd love to hear about it. You can find us at After4Pod on Instagram and Facebook. And if you haven't already, take just a second to unlock your phone and subscribe to the podcast. If your platform lets you, leave us a rating and a review. And if you like what we're doing here, share us with your InterVarsity or other post-graduation friends. Thanks again for listening, and I will see you in the after, alumni.